This is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
And Kathy Dawes now, along with Manhattan Ogden USD 383 School Board Member Daryl Eady, Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed. We appreciate both of you being here today. And as always, phone lines are open. 537-1350, toll free 866-776-1350. Or you can tweet us at 1350 KMAN. Of course, Andrew Shore is on the other side of the glass. This is his beat. He might enter in from time to time, too. He's running the board in Dave's absence today. So kind of splitting this up a little bit differently today. But welcome, you gentlemen. And the agenda looks like an interesting one. Quite a few items on the new business portion of that agenda. And I know the reading grant, I think, Eric, looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, the Kansas Reading Roadmap expansion. Currently, we have KRR programs in four of our elementary schools, and this would expand it to three more through a state grant. And this is us accepting that grant and being able to use it to help in reading interventions after school.
Daryl, some of your thoughts?
Well, anytime we can help support, you know, the basic core education programs, it's great. You know, and reading is really one of the bases to get the kids started and going. So anytime we can really help out there, it's great.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of success with the current KRR schools, and currently Boys and Girls Club runs that for us. And these three schools we would run as our district, but it's going to look very similar to what we do with Boys and Girls Club after school. But we've had a lot of success with that so far. We've a lot of support coming from that grant, so that's very, very helpful for our kids.
And reading's so crucial. Andrew, did you have something you wanted to add with?
No, I actually didn't. I've heard you talk about this just a little bit, and as you say, it's really contributed to some of your scores and things like that.
Yeah, it's been very helpful because part of the grant is you have to track the students that receive the interventions and collect data on them, and we see great gains out of kids in this program. So it's something Governor Brownback, one of his initiatives way back when, and I like to give credit where credit's due, but it's been very helpful for students that are able to receive this.
Good to hear. Capital outlay, budget planning, fun. Lou Faust is going to be at it again, I guess, and Eric kind of give us the basics of that.
Yeah, Lou, Matt, and I, we've been working on this, mostly Matt Davis, and putting together the plan for next year. What were our big spending expenses? What are we planning to do capital outlay-wise for next year going into the next budget year? This is kind of our dream list of where we'd like to be, and keeping the budget in mind while we're doing it.
And while it's a discussion item, I know, you know, Daryl, something very crucial that you'll need to go over.
Well, you know, it's like everything else. We need to keep everything up and up to date and maintained well. Otherwise, we have to spend another, you know, $94, $95 million just on a bond issue to paint and put in new carpeting. It's better to do it $4 or $5 million a year, be able to maintain it, keep it going, and cover the cost each year. It's a lot better.
Eric, I know, and the only other real action item on the agenda having to do with a projector replacement, I don't think it's a huge matter, but something that needs to be taken care of.
Yeah, the LCD projectors, they're a common feature now in classrooms, and I don't really know how we would do it without them, but some of our projectors are coming to the end of their life, and we need to replace them starting at Northview Elementary School. But I think this is going to be the start of a wave of projectors coming through. They have a life, and they can only last so long. And like I said, if we don't have them, it really cripples what our teachers can do. So it's a pretty important piece of equipment.
With technology these days, Daryl, you got to keep up with all this
stuff. And you have to have a plan, you know, every 4 or 5 years to replace laptops, iPads. We'll be talking about some of that too. And projectors, just another type of technology. You just got to plan for it. And if you can plan for it and, you know, keep up with it, you're doing a lot better job.
Now, I know when you first came in, too, Eric, you mentioned under reports there's one that really should be of interest to a lot of folks out there, the multi-tiered system of supports, and maybe explain a bit more what that's all about.
Yeah, our multi-tiered systems of support, or MTSS, we made reference to this in a lot of meetings this year. This has been a big district push that Dr. Wade and Michelle have been working on with the staff, with the admin team, with teachers. It's been a big focus of us. But the basics of MTSS is we screen every student basically on their math and reading and behavior, social emotional behavior. We have a baseline and what's expected at each grade level. And if someone is below those needs, wherever they need to be, we target interventions to try and get them up to speed. This is another pretty popular program around the state. It's something I've implemented in another district, and I think we're going to see great things coming from MTSS. But with a district like ours, we have to come about it systematically. So it's going to be changing our system a little bit from what people are used to. And that's a challenge in a lot of ways, but I think the upside of this is outstanding. So I'm really excited about this.
Now, to your average layman, you said there will be some changes. What will the average person see, maybe? Can you be a little more specific?
Well, I think how we screen students, we're going to plan on using a different assessment called the FAST, and that's the next item, formative assessment system for teachers that acts as a screener. We're going to back off some of our other assessments. So I think some assessments that people are used to giving and people are used to seeing results on those things. But I think we're going to get a better screener that targets where our students are. And I think it's going to take less time. So less testing time overall for our staff and students is usually a good thing, but it's going to require a change. We couldn't bring this in and keep with our current assessment. So something had to change. And I think that's a pretty popular change when you say, what actually be able to do this in less time giving assessments.
Daryl, your thoughts?
Well, anytime you take less time from teaching and things like that, it's great. So that part of it's great. It's actually going to be a little bit more comprehensive. It's going to replace, I think it's the MAP testing, which everybody's used to. And it still does that tracking, you know, of where a student is in the spring and all that stuff. So that's great. And it also incorporates some of their behavioral and social skills and things. We can really focus on the complete student a little bit more. So it's a more comprehensive way of looking at a student.
And another thing with the reading assessments, you know, that we've been giving, we primarily give DIBLs across the district, but different grade levels it didn't work for. So we would give different assessments at different grade levels. Actually, I think when Mrs. Sell put it out there for what assessments are you using, I think in the district we're, I don't quote me on this, but somewhere around 28 different reading assessments that we gave for baselines. And that's hard. It's hard to coordinate it as a district that way. So us switching to one district assessment, so it's apples to apples across the board and we're using the same assessment and it follows all the way through our buildings, is going to be a powerful thing for our district.
Interesting. Well, going back to the consent portion of the agenda, anything we need to highlight there and we can move on? I know we have a lot to talk about at the state level, too, while we're at it. But Daryl, anything we're needing to look at there?
Well, I always think the first thing we ought to look at is the recognitions. We have some, you know, this time of year we get to see all the completion of different teams and different groups that have competed all year. And this time we get to recognize the Anthony Middle School Math Counts team. I think this is the eighth year in a row they've won regional. That's awesome. And the Manhattan High School Business Professionals of America, we get to recognize them. So those are great groups and things we get to recognize. And, of course, coming up at the next meeting, we get to do the girls' basketball team and the wrestling team.
State champs.
Yeah. So those are, you know, we've had a great year.
Yeah, you know, we should have led with that. Where was my head? I mean, that's the biggest news there is right now for 383, when you stop and think about it.
It was a successful winter for our sports teams. They did an outstanding job all the way across. But, yeah, we came out on top in girls basketball and team wrestling. So pretty excited about that.
Probably a pretty good morale booster, too, wouldn't you say?
I hope so.
Helps keep kids busy, preoccupied when they're not in the classroom, cause a little bit less trouble. Add some good school spirit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it brings some energy to the building. And the boys basketball team made it to state as well, lost in overtime first round, but that brings some energy as well. They all did a great job.
Oh, yeah, they did. And it's always fun to see the students and gathering around all that. That's fun.
Well, let's go ahead and take a break. It's now 9:15. Again, Manhattan Ogden, USD 383, school board member Daryl Eady, assistant superintendent Eric Reed, also Andrew Shores on the other side of the glass kind of entering in periodically, and 537-1350 if you'd also like to enter in. We always welcome you. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.